Welcome to Current Sports. As always, it's my honor and privilege to grace your radio as your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at AlMartinWKAR.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear always what's on your mind. And, of course, you know you can give us a ring right here at the station of Current Sports and WKAR by calling 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? Of course, we encourage all of you who listen to Current Sports each and every weekday from 1 to 2 to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and post some conversations that you would love to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me. We would love to hear your input. Now, you know what? I'm calling this show a throwback show, if you will, because today's show is a bit like my kind of like the format of my predecessors, the great Earl Robinson. Of course, we had a whole trivia day planned for you all, seeing as though this is the end of the month. Yes, I was going to put my undefeated streak, incredible streak, it's not really a streak, 1-0 on the line and try to get another win over Alex, but the Detroit Pistons and Tigers had other plans. Plans so big that we had to change plans of today's show. So, you know what? We're going to start taking your calls right now, and we're not stopping this train until the clock reads 2 p.m. So call all hour. We will take your calls. As always, we will discuss anything that's on your mind, but in particular, we would love to hear your thoughts on the trades involving, major trades involving the Pistons and Tigers. Now, for those of you who are driving in your car or sitting back on the patio, well, it might be raining, you're probably not outside, but if you're just, no matter where you are listening to this show, and you're like, what is Al talking about the Pistons and Tigers? I didn't hear any news about that. Well, don't fret, we're going to catch you up on that right now. The Pistons, the Detroit Pistons, they have agreed to sign and trade, a sign and trade deal that will net Brandon Jennings, a restricted free agent, a new 3-year contract worth in excess of $25 million. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks will receive guard Brandon Knight and forward Chris Middleton and center, oh, this name is going to get me, Vyacheslav, he didn't get a lot of playing time, that's why I don't know his name, Vyacheslav Kratsov. Believe that's his name. I probably just butchered that. But that's, bro, Brandon Knight, Chris Middleton, and that guy who I just said. Jennings was considering returning to the Bucks on a 1-year qualifying offer, which would have made him an unrestricted free agent until the Pistons swooped in with serious trade interest. Now, Detroit has been active this offseason, signing free agents Josh Smith, Chauncey Billups, Luigi Datome, he's MVP of the Italian League, and it, as it desperately tries to end its 4-year postseason drought. Now, the Pistons also signed Billups to mentor Brandon Knight, but have chosen, of course, right now to replace Knight with Jennings. The Bucks also signed free agent guard Gary Neal and first-round draft picks Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's another name that just got me. Wow. On Tuesday, yesterday. The Pistons roster now stands at 13, and I bet you this, you can expect the team to sign Peyton Siva. Now, he was injured during the whole summer league, but they signed Peyton for a reason. Of course, he played with that Louisville team who pushed a lot of teams in the brink during the NCAA tournament. Now, the team only has two players that can play center. Of course, Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. Now, but unless there's a trade, their options are limited, very limited, since they're up against the $58.7 million salary cap. Still, it's expected that the Pistons will add another big player. Now, the Pistons, they were able to complete the deal without giving up either of expiring deals in Rodney Stuckey and Charlie Villanueva. Now, they can still be active in the trade market due to those two players still being on that roster. Now, entering his fifth season, Brandon Jennings is coming off a poor shooting season, just shooting about 40% from the field. He averaged 17.5 points and 6.5 assists per game. Now, after playing professionally in Italy for what would have been his professional collegiate season, Jennings was the 10th pick overall by the Bucks in 2009. All right, a lot of information I know to process there, but just let that soak. Be a sponge right now. People, be a sponge, because I also want to update you if you didn't hear about the Tigers. So think about the Pistons really quick. We're going to update you on the Tigers now. With the trade deadline at hand, I believe 4 o'clock is the trade deadline, so it's still about 3 hours left. And having just learned that a 50-game suspension for shortstop Johnny Peralta could now be imminent, Tigers general manager Dave Dombrowski on Tuesday night dealt minor league outfield prospect Avisail Garcia to acquire young Boston shortstop Jose Iglesias. Now, the transaction was a part of a 3-way trade. Boston immediately sent Garcia and 3 minor leaguers to Chicago for veteran right-handed pitcher Jake Peavy. Now, the Tigers also sent minor league reliever Brian Villarreal to the Red Sox. Now, in a midnight press conference at Comerica Park to announce the deal, Dombrowski portrayed Iglesias, 23, only 23 years old, as both short-term insurance against a Peralta suspension and as the Tigers' new long-term shortstop for the years ahead. Dombrowski said, quote, "We like him a lot. We aren't going to look for another shortstop," end quote. So Iglesias and Matt, who is joining me throughout the entire show, Matt Lutke, my great production assistant. Matt, you were showing me this YouTube highlight reel of Iglesias, and the kid looks like he's a beast.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy in the field. You know, I know highlight videos, obviously, just by their nature, they're going to showcase the strengths of any player, right. But some of the things the guy was doing are, like, just mind-boggling.
He's crazy athletic.
He has insane range. He makes just about every throw you can imagine from the shortstop position. I mean, pairing him up with Cabrera on that side of the – like, Cabrera can just, like, lay down at third and just, like, take halves of innings off.
Go to sleep. Yeah.
Because Iglesias is going to cover for him. And, you know, while he's not a great hitter by any stretch of the imagination, I feel like he's going to make his money in the field. And I feel like he's pretty much the lone guy who is, like, a plus-plus defensive player on the Tigers. That's something they've been missing. I mean, outside of bullpen help, that's been the big hole, is defensive, you know, fielding prowess. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy. He looks like he's going to be the shortstop of the future, like you were saying.
Right.
You know, in addition to that insurance policy for Peralta.
For Peralta, exactly. Yeah. Now, Iglesias, again, he's a spectacular defensive shortstop who can also play second and third if need be. Now, right now he's hitting 330 this season in part-time duty, including starts at third base. Now, Stephen Drew is Boston's full-time shortstop right now, but Iglesias has just 5 hits in his last 43 at-bats. He's a right-handed hitter who has yet to show much power or stolen base speed in his 98 big league games. But again, you know, this is kind of an insurance type of trade here. I mean, they got, you know, and Dombrowski really just admitted it yesterday during that midnight press conference that they really needed somebody to as insurance for Peralta, who was expected to leave the team due to this whole biogenesis thing. But Iglesias, as far as the shortstop position, I mean, YouTube him. I mean, the guy, he's young, he's athletic, and he really, a lot of reports, and I was just doing some reading before we hit the air, a lot of reports actually had him ranked as the number one shortstop coming into this MLB season, which I had no idea. So
I believe it.
Yeah.
He's like, I think he'll be a fan favorite, which is... Yeah. So, like, it's actually saying something, considering that now he's on a team with Cabrera, Fielder, Verlander, Scherzer.
Right.
People are going to love this kid just because of what he can do in the field. He's so entertaining. Some of the throws he makes are just, they really are mind-boggling. Like, it just doesn't make sense that he's doing this.
Right.
And he makes it look easy. It's just easy. Effortless throws, and they're right on the money. So I think, you know, he's a 23-year-old kid. He's going to have a lot of time to grow.
Yep.
Obviously, the power numbers aren't going to be there. He's a shortstop, though. You're not really expecting a shortstop to carry you offensively.
Yeah.
And you can cover up those deficiencies at the plate with guys like Cabrera, Fielder. You know, we have a strong lineup as far as hitting is concerned, so getting a guy in there who is a defensive specialist might be good for the Tigers.
Yeah, very true. I totally agree. Now, this afternoon's game with Washington could be Peralta's final game in a Tigers uniform. Wow. Now, the Tigers' next scheduled game is Friday for Iglesias, which he is expected to join the team during that game. Now, according to reports, on Tuesday night, Peralta could begin serving a 50-game suspension on Friday for his connection in the whole biogenesis scandal over those performance-enhancing drugs and his use of those. Peralta, who can be a free agent after this season, would then be eligible to return with 6 games left in the regular season. But would the Tigers take him back? That's really the question when you look at that. Now, why would Peralta take a suspension now instead of appealing? Well, and possibly postponing it until next year? One possible answer when I look at this, Matt, and that is because he wants the suspension behind him by the time he gets to the free agent market this offseason.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
It's all about money.
Right.
It's a big payday.
It's all about the dollar, man.
If you're definitely a less attractive free agent prospect if you're going to be sitting out 50 games at the start of the season.
Exactly.
There's no way around that.
No brainer about that one, man. So also want to note, though, that Alex Avila, as far as just the Tigers play right now, last night, Alex Avila, he took advantage of a rare mistake from Steven Strasburg. I tell you, he hit a tie-breaking, it was 1-1, tie-breaking grand slam in the sixth inning on a Strasburg fastball right over the plate, lifting the Tigers 5-1 over the Nationals last night. So again, people, we want you to call. What do you think about the whole Tigers, this whole situation bringing over Jose Iglesias, who looks like a very good prospect for the Tigers right now? What is your opinion on this? 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. All right, I want to backtrack really quick to the Detroit Pistons. And, man, when I heard about this trade, too, I've totally forgot about it. But as you guys know, I'm a huge Pistons fan. I was going to come in here rocking my Pistons hat, my lucky Pistons hat, because I'm so excited about this trade. And they're finally making moves, man. Brandon Jennings, they get rid of Brandon Knight. It looks like Jennings is probably going to be playing that starting point guard role, probably getting mentored now by Chauncey Billups, who, you know, there was reports about Brandon Knight as the mentee of Chauncey Billups, but now it's definitely going to be Jennings. So what do you think about that move, man?
You know, I'm a little bit less enthusiastic than you are, but I do like it. And okay. I like it because they're only paying him $25 million over 3 years. When he kind of went into this free agent market as a restricted free agent, I think he was looking for like the $10 million range. Mm-hmm. So we got him at a cheaper price in that regard.
Right.
He is a terrible shooter, though.
He is bad. He is a bad shooter.
It's pretty awful. He shoots 42% from inside 8 feet, which is like awful. And part of it is because he's so small and light. Like he's a shorter guy. He's probably one of the lighter guys in the NBA in terms of weight. He doesn't get inside enough.
Right.
But at the same time, when you look at this move, in conjunction with the Josh Smith signing, it seems like they are going to be a team that is going to miss jump shots and get offensive boards.
Right.
Like, with the team they've built around him, I feel like his style of play, even his deficiency shooting, can work out. Because, I mean, some players, you know, even though they shoot a terrible percentage, if the team gets an offensive rebound and converts, that's a successful possession. Like some players are known for volume shooting, but even though they miss, it works out for the team. You know, he might not shoot a great percentage, but if the Pistons are rebounding those misses with guys like Drummond and Monroe inside, and now Smith especially, that can be an effective offense.
Right.
Because, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over. He's not a great assist guy, not a great facilitator, but he's aggressive. And he shoots the ball a lot. And if we have, you know, this big lineup on the front line, shooting and missing might be beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. It could be. And I think when you look at this move with Brandon Jennings, I think he will get better with his shot.
Right.
As time goes on. And he's still young. He's still tweaking his shot a little bit. I think that'll come with time. But I think when you look at this move, what really, first of all, if you look at the root of it with Brandon Knight, the Pistons tried to make Brandon Knight into a point guard,
right?
Which he is just simply not.
No.
When we look at it, and they tried him at the point guard position. He's not a great facilitator. He turns the ball over a lot, and he really didn't find his niche there. So it was a question whether or not, even coming into this upcoming season, whether or not where Brandon Knight was going to play. Was he going to play the one? Was he going to play the two? I almost guarantee he was probably going to play a two, either coming off the bench or starting in some capacity. I have no idea. But so that now you don't have to worry about that. Brandon Knight's gone. It's clear-cut pace that Brandon Jennings is a point guard. He's been playing that all his life. And when you look at Brandon Knight, one of the things that a lot of people didn't bring up when I was looking at the coverage of this whole trade was this was really a trade from an attitude perspective. And I say that because Joe Dumars made a statement yesterday that really caught my eye. And he said that he wants the Pistons to be nastier. And he doesn't want the whole lovey-dovey, you know, just nonchalant, no attitude right. type. He misses the bad boys
right.
of back in the day.
No more Mr. Nice Guys.
No more Mr. Right? Nice. Exactly. Yeah. And when you look at Brandon, a guy like Brandon Jennings, and if you look at his stint over in Milwaukee, he's a guy that's very vocal.
Yep.
And if you remember in this year's playoffs, he predicted that his team was going to beat the Miami Heat. He said, we're going to beat them. Even when they lost, I think, what is the first two or three games or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But he was still sticking to his guns, saying, hey, we're going to beat these guys. This is the Miami Heat you're talking about.
He's not short on confidence.
No, not at all.
And when you're trying to get out of the cellar like the Pistons are, you need players like that who think they're going to win. They go out on the court thinking they are the best guy on the court.
Right.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, to an extent it does, because he's going to take some shots that he shouldn't, and him and Josh Smith are similar in that regard. But again, the rest of the league is going to small ball, and the Pistons seem to be going in the other direction, and Brandon Jennings kind of fits that mold.
He
where,
does.
You know, he's not, you know, obviously he's not a great shooter. Like we've said, he's not a great shooter, but like I think you're right. I think he'll get better, and I think that's going to come with shot selection, because he takes a lot of terrible shots, but we have Chauncey Billups here to mentor him. Mo Cheeks is the point guard guru.
Exactly.
We'll see what he can do with Brandon Jennings. I mean, Russell Westbrook definitely became a more complete player over the last few seasons.
Oh, yeah, due to Mo Cheeks.
Exactly. So maybe he can do that again and help Jennings along and help make him a more complete player. And again, he is a lefty too. I love watching lefties. Jennings, Smith, we got a lot of them now.
We got a lot of them now. Definitely, we definitely have a lot of them. And I think he will. I think now when you look at a starting lineup like the Pistons now, I'm just predicting a starting lineup here now. When you got Smith, you got Drummond, you have Monroe now. Jennings is still up in the air. Who will possibly play? Maybe Datome works his way. I have no idea. You never know. But looking at that right now and putting Jennings with, you know, the likes of Smith, Monroe, and Drummond. Smith, Monroe, and Drummond, they're guys who can create their own shot and really can pound. Like I said, when you talk about the Twin Towers down there with Drummond and Monroe, they pound it down there. They can muscle guys out and score down low. This is not a center-driven league, so that's one area that I really like with the Pistons right now. If you play those two guys together, they can become a powerhouse. The sky's the limit for those guys as they continue to develop. Then you throw Smith in there, a guy who can take you inside and outside. Those guys need the ball. And I think that when Brandon Jennings comes over to this team and he starts working out with those guys, I can almost guarantee that Joe Dumars will probably have a talk with him. Mo Cheeks will probably have a talk with him. Chauncey Billups, of course, will be a mentor to him to say, hey, you got to facilitate the ball. Slash if you need be, because I think he can be an excellent slasher. He's got a lot of quickness off the dribble, a very quick guard, outstanding ball handling skills. I think he can be something special with given time, but he cannot, like you said, he can't take bad shots, especially late in the game when the game is on the line. He can't do that, but I think that'll come as as his stint rises and he gets mentored by individuals like you said with Mo Cheeks and Billups. So, very interesting move by the Pistons. I like it a lot, and it shows that the Pistons aren't just sitting on their hands and doing nothing.
Right, and at the very least, I think this is the most people have been talking about the Pistons in 4 years.
Since they really
broke up that core that won the title in 2004, this is easily the most excited I've been about the Pistons since then. I mean, there's some genuine interest. I think they're going to start selling out some games again. And just look at the ages of the core. That projected starting lineup, if let's put Caldwell Pope in there.
Jennings,
23. Monroe, 23. Caldwell Pope, 20. Drummond, 20. Josh Smith, 27.
Yeah.
Like, that's a core that can grow together.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
And,
without a doubt.
Within a few years, I mean, I think you're going to see Miami make some changes. I think, the power structure of the East is going to be changing.
Right.
You know, they're not going to be great right off the bat.
Right.
I think they'll contend for a playoff spot, probably a low seed. They're not going to win the title next year.
No, I'm not expecting.
Playing the long game.
I'm very positive with that because I'm a Pistons fan.
Right.
So, but I know what you mean. Yeah,
right. I mean, they're not, one of the top three teams in the East.
No.
But they've got a really bright future.
They do.
All these guys, 5 years down the line, will be very productive players in the league. And if they can keep that core together, the sky's the limit if you're looking at the long game. So I think it's a good move. And, again, they're aggressive, finally.
Finally. And you know what? It took desperation mode for Joe D to say, all right, I need to wake up and start making some moves. And that's something that really irks me a little bit, because Joe D, it seemed like he just got fat and happy. You know, he just got fat and happy after that championship and said, all right, I got these guys a ring now. I can just kind of chillax for a little bit, you know, and just coast.
Right. Well, I mean, for a while there, he could put it on autopilot, and they would make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. I mean, because if you look at that, after the year when they beat the Lakers, I believe they made it back to the finals a few years after, or maybe
they lost to the Spurs the year after. Yeah,
and they lost to the Spurs. So, I mean, he got a little fat and happy, like, all right, well, I got a nice little core here. Let me just chill out for a minute. And as years went by, Pistons, like you said, they're in a four-year postseason stint right now. And then you hear the talks like, all right, what is Joe D doing? Okay, but he's still Joe D. And then the next year, all right, Joe, okay, we'll give you a pass. I mean, it's only year two. Year three, we're not making the playoffs again. It's like, all right, Joe, what is going on here?
Right. Patience was wearing thin.
It was definitely wearing thin. And now, in desperation mode, when his job is on the line, he said, okay, I got to start doing something. And I believe that's the reason why, because he knows that his job is on the line. If he didn't do anything, he would definitely be gone. This is his year. This is the year for Joe D.
Yeah, this is make or break.
Right.
They have to make the playoffs, I feel like.
They have to, without a doubt. The expectation to make the playoffs is there for the Pistons right now, especially with bringing the additions that they've made right now with the team. It's go big or bust right now.
For
so,
sure.
Definitely. So, again, ladies and gents, give us a call here at the station, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on the whole Detroit Pistons trade and the Tigers trade. If you got thoughts on Johnny Peralta. Coming up after the break, you guys are definitely active on Facebook, I guess. Maybe you guys are shy to call in. You guys are definitely will hide behind those keyboards and type some stuff up. I tell you that. Love it, though. I love it. Keep it coming. We'll read some of your comments on Facebook and Twitter right after the break and get your thoughts on the whole Pistons and Tigers trade phenomena. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, as Congress debates immigration reform, the mayor of Nogales, Arizona, offers his thoughts on the border fence that runs through town.
For the economy, more harm, and I really don't think it stops anything. It just makes people feel good up in Washington.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we're taking your calls right here at the station, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. 855-9527. We are talking about the whole Pistons trade, acquiring Brandon Jennings, and of course the Tigers making big moves. We want to get your thoughts, and you guys have definitely been pretty active on Facebook. Thank you for your comments. Travis Casey says, quote, sad to see Garcia ship off, but on Jennings, nice pickup. Let's hope he doesn't predict to beat the Heat if we manage to make the playoffs. Very true, Travis. Thanks for your comment. Spencer Ray says, Jennings is perfect for Detroit. He has tremendous skill and definitely can make Detroit into a seventh or an eighth seed. Joe D may be on to something. Antoine Hollis says, Jennings is a great pick. It gives me hope for the Pistons. It makes me feel like they're headed in the right direction. And David Zuckerman, thank you for your comment. This thing is just like a Charles Dickens novel, man. This is unbelievable. Jennings will, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Jennings will instantly upgrade the Pistons offense. And with the aid of Mo Cheeks and Chauncey, Pistons fans will expect him to cut down on his ill-advised shots and continue to progress in facilitating an offense. We just said that, man. Wow. His price tag was right. And the Pistons didn't have to break up their promising big men. The only detractor coming from this is B. Knight. He is a consummate professional. While the combination of Jennings and Jay Smoove, as talented as they will be together, has potential to cause chronic migraines for a head coach. But all in all, I can see the Pistons jumping as high as a six seed if it all comes together. And then Neo goes on to talk about the Tigers too. As for Iglesias, to the eat 'em up boys, he's a stud glove. I like that a lot. That is really nice. Have you ever heard stud glove?
I haven't.
That's new. David, nice, man. Stud, that's something I'll say. Stud glove, who has produced with his bat in a small sample size, which is 62 games, as we talked about. Now, no matter Johnny P's biogenesis outcome, the Tigers see Jose as their shortstop of the future, or at least they better, since they parted ways with fan favorite Mini Cabby. So thank you, David Zuckerman, Antoine Hollis, Spencer Ray, and Travis Casey for your great comments on that. Again, you can also visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports, and weigh in, let your voice be heard on any of the topics. Again, give us a call here at the station, 517-355-9527. All right, well, we have to move on, and we have a lot going on in the sports world. Let me tell you. Matt and I are going to break some things down. First off, the MLBPA, Major League Baseball, has told the union which players it intends to suspend in its drug investigation and which ones will receive lengthier penalties for their roles in the whole biogenesis case. Now, two people familiar with the talks told the AP, Associated Press, this yesterday. Now, the sides are trying to reach as many agreements as possible that would avoid grievance hearings and talks that could push back an announcement until Friday. Now, the meeting between the MLB and the union on Tuesday, first reported by the New York Daily News, signaled the final stretches of talks. So, man, now the MLB hopes to announce the penalties for all players involved at the same time. That's why this thing is kind of taken a little bit. Speaking on condition of anonymity, because no announcements have been authorized. Now, there are so many names in this, man. I mean, of course, Johnny Peralta for Detroit. That hits his home here. Texas outfielder Nelson Cruz, San Diego shortstop Everett Cabrera, Johnny Peralta, Bartolo Colon, A-Rod, Francisco Cervelli. I mean, the list is redonkulous, man. What are you? I really like, though, how they took their time, really thought this out, though, and going to announce them all at the same time, other than the Ryan Braun situation in which, I mean, they had hard evidence and didn't need to delay it.
Right, and Ryan Braun kind of made his own bed with his previous PED situation. But it's like this anvil that's just waiting to drop on Major League Baseball and just kind of shake up the sport, absolutely. But I do like it. It's just going to be a clean sweep, at least.
And they deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, their goal is to clean up the game.
Right.
You know, they kind of have Ryan Braun as the poster child, and then they go in and really take these guys out of the game and, you know, get them off the field. And hopefully it's not just, 3 months of stories about appeals and whatnot. Hopefully these guys just kind of take their lumps, take the suspensions, and move on. Because I think, you know, baseball, the quicker they can move on from this, the better. And I think, you know, fighting these suspensions just drags it out, and
it hangs
over the season, really. I mean, that's going to be the big story of the season is 50 names or however many it is, you know, just out of the game.
Out of the game right there. Very sad stuff. I hate hearing this in baseball, but I don't see it, you know, stopping anytime soon in the game. And then A-Rod, too, who's gone through so much. You know, A-Rod, you know, Mike Greenberg this morning had me dying laughing. I want to share this because he said that A-Rod reminds him of Scarface in the final scene where he's just sitting up there and everyone's attacking him. He's on his last leg. He's going out with a fight.
He absolutely is.
Yeah, he's just, say hello to my little friend. He has no little friend right now because he has nothing to fight back with. I mean, it's just bad.
Yeah, it's Scarface, but way more depressing. It's like, my gosh.
Very, very depressing.
Just ride off into the sunset, A-Rod.
They're coming up the stairs, you know, they're ready. They're coming after you, A-Rod. You can't do anything, man.
It's over.
All right, Skylar Berkeland. MSU's offensive tackle Skylar Berkeland will forgo his final two seasons of eligibility and retire from football. Coach Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, says, quote, "This was a difficult decision for Skylar. We'll certainly miss him on the football field, but he'll remain heavily involved in our program and continue to work on earning his degree." Now, Berkeland applied for medical disqualification on June 30th and will be eligible to remain on scholarship while he completes his degree at Michigan State. He won't count toward the school's 85 scholarship limit, but Berkeland has 2 years of schooling left as well. Now, Berkeland started 14 games at right tackle during his career at MSU, including 11 in 2012, after missing the first two games of the season with a hand injury. 2 years ago, as a redshirt freshman, he started the first three games, but was knocked out for the remainder of the season with a fractured, dislocated ankle. So, Skylar, wish you the best, man. You just hate hearing about stuff like that in the game of football. And keep on keeping on, brother. Keep on keeping on. All right. MSU's artificial turf. You know, shout out to Diamond Leung, who, of course, is a friend of the show. We had him on. He shouted Current Sports out today in his most recent article on the Michigan State artificial turf that was installed. Because Hollis, you know, Hollis's first time revealing that was right here on Current Sports. And, you know, it's now complete. Michigan State had artificial turf installed for one of its outdoor practice fields behind the Duffy Daltrey football building. Michigan State Director of Football Operations Tim Allen, he tweeted a photo of the field on Tuesday from the team's new filming tower, which is really nice. I can actually see it from my office on the fifth floor. Really nice. Very well done and classy. It makes it safer for guys up there filming.
Definitely.
Because I know they had the death of the one kid at Penn State, am I right?
Was at Notre Dame.
Was at Notre Dame. Yep. Excuse me. Yeah, Notre Dame and Phil. Those things are so dangerous, but this one is really safe, really nice.
Looks sturdy.
It looks very
sturdy.
From
a distance, it looks like that thing's not going anywhere.
Nowhere. Yeah. So I'm glad they got that. I think every school should have something like that because that's far up. That's crazy. But Athletic Director Mark Hollis, he told Current Sports earlier this month that both projects would be put into place. Now, the 50-foot tower sits between the two outdoor practice facilities and includes a concrete foundation to provide a safer environment for videotaping and viewing practice. You can actually see it if you walk by there. It's really nice. Check it out. Now, outside of the very interesting, this was reported by Spartan Nation, that outside of the training room, the team hung up quotes from a Michigan Athletic Director Dave Brandon, a radio interview regarding Brady Hoke's comment that Michigan State, hosting the rivalry game in consecutive years was, quote, not a big deal. Brandon went on to say, quote, we can win there as easily as we can win at home. So that quote is now sitting next to the locker room of the Michigan State football team as some added motivation. I cannot wait for that game. I tell you that.
As if there wasn't enough intensity already.
I know, right? Exactly. And we talked yesterday about, you know, the whole possibly hosting the, you know, a night game for Michigan State and MSU and how heated it could probably get. That will probably never happen in maybe at least my years here.
It just seems like I can't think of another rivalry that is just like so filled with hatred.
Yeah.
Like especially from the fans. It's downright scary sometimes.
It definitely is.
And, reading any article that is posted on like the Freep or the Detroit News, it's immediately the comment section just devolves into name calling and you know, this and that, and it's just
On like Donkey Kong anytime that happens.
Uncivilized.
Man. It's uncivilized. That's a very good way to put it. interesting stuff. All right. Carlos Hyde. He is now going to face, it's official, at Ohio State's Carlos Hyde will not face charges stemming from an incident at a Columbus nightclub, but he will face discipline from head coach Urban Meyer. Now, Hyde has been suspended for at least the first three games of the 2013 season. Now, I looked at the video, pretty, you know, like, why'd you do this type of stuff when you look at the video? A surveillance video from the club was released that you can go online and check it out. We'll post it on the Facebook page. But surveillance video from the club was released that showed Hyde talking to a woman before the encounter briefly became physical. After initially filing charges, the woman did not want to pursue them, according to police. If you look at the video, because I saw the video. Have you seen it, man? I don't know if
I did.
Yeah, and he just kind of like talks to the girl, and does she hit him? I think she hits him or slaps him or something.
Yeah, it's...
And
it's,
he slaps her back real quick
like
and runs off.
It's kind of like if two cats were fighting, where they just kind of paw at each other and then back away, and that's it. It's like, you know, you're watching this video for a minute, and it's grainy, and it's black and white, and then 2 seconds, you know, into it, there's just a little confrontation. That's it. It's just pat, and then they're out.
And that's it.
But it's
pretty. I mean, when you look at it, it's nothing major,
right?
But I think he does like slap her or something like that.
He definitely reaches.
I don't know if he made contact.
Yeah, exactly.
But man, that's why you always got to watch what you do, because you never know who's watching, especially when you're a player in the spotlight like Carlos Hyde. But Urban Meyer said, "Quote: Our players are taught to walk away." End quote. Nice quote.
Yeah, and Urban Meyer, do you think he's feeling the heat from all this bad press, and now he's gonna just bring the hammer down on anybody?
On anybody. And he went on to say, this is not representative of our football program or this university, and he will be required to fulfill additional obligations before he's allowed to play in the game. Hyde will miss games against Buffalo, San Diego State, and California. All right, Kickalicious. I like this story a lot. Harvard Kickalicious Ruglin is making a lot of noise at a Lions training camp, man. He's gone 11 for 11 on kicks in game-like conditions over the first 3 days, including a 58-yarder. That got his teammates' attention. He got his nickname Kickalicious. I really like it. That Bigfoot... He's legit, end quote. That's teammate Nate Burleson said. He says, quote, Kickalicious is for real. He isn't just an internet sensation. I like that quote a lot. Kickalicious, man.
He's for real. The guy, you know, he's a long shot still, but.
Yeah. I mean, because he's going against David Akers, I believe, right?
Right.
And it's kind of hard, you know, David Akers, you know.
Right, and this guy has a YouTube video. And, you know, comparing resumes, it's like a decade in the NFL or a YouTube video.
Or a YouTube
that is insanely popular.
Right.
But, hey, if he doesn't make the team, bring him out at halftime. Have him call out sections and see if he can kick it to him.
That'd be a money getter right there.
Exactly.
You know? Bring him on at halftime, you know. That'd be a nice attraction.
At the very least, he's entertaining.
Yeah, but he's gone 11 for 11.
I know.
58-yarder? I mean, that...
Without breaking a sweat.
He's a sensation.
They said he kicked a kickoff through the uprights.
Wow. He's pretty
good.
He's pretty good.
He's got a leg. And he's only 28.
Right.
Give him a shot. Come on, Jim Schwartz.
Throw him in there. We'll be seeing Kickalicious, I'm sure.
I hope.
In the preseason.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely, without a doubt. So I'm definitely excited to see him. We have a call right now, I believe. Ray is on line one. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, I wanted to talk a little college football here. Media Day was a week ago at the Big Ten things.
Yeah.
Who they got as the favorite between Michigan State and Nebraska and all them?
As far as just the Legends division?
Yeah.
It's a dead heat between about four teams.
Yeah, it's about four teams up there, four or five.
Well, I'll tell you what, you win championships with great defense. If you guys play great defense and that quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, I think you can win that division.
Definitely. I think, you know, Michigan State's defense is something that you know, is always going to be, if there's anything consistent on the Michigan State football team, is the defense.
Yeah.
Narduzzi, everybody was trying to get Narduzzi because he's just a great defensive coordinator. And Michigan State's defense over the past few seasons has been great. It's always been a question on offense, though, on whether or not the quarterback, who's the right fit for quarterback position, receivers dropping balls and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, definitely. I do agree with you on the defensive end, Ray.
That quarterback and wide receivers, have they gotten any better since last year? It was terrible the way they played last year, ball.
Well, I tell you what, preseason training camp starts this week, and we will definitely be there covering that and taking a look at him. And we'll hear what D'Antonio is pretty positive about, you know, this receiving core this year.
Well, you got Michigan at home. I hope you beat the heck out of them, okay? I can't stand them. I worked down there 18 years, and they fired me, and then they revoked my season ticket, so I've rooted against them for 6 years. They've lost 35 games in 6 years. God doesn't care about a football game, but he cares about rudeness and common courtesy. I found out they're a bunch of rich, arrogant, prideful people, and all your money, pride, and arrogance won't get you into heaven, but it could get you into hell.
Oh, man. So this is personal. Personal for Ray.
That's deep. But
it's deep.
True.
Well, 35 losses, Ray. Keep up the good work.
Well, I know. I hope they keep losing, too, because they deserve it. I found out just how much they're all about money. That's all they care about, buddy. David Brandon, Lloyd Carr, and all them guys took my chocolates and hailed the Victor's Inc., but these dinners for 4 years told me they'd return my phone call, and they sent an attorney after me to revoke my season tickets.
Oh, man.
I had them for 25 years. How would you feel if somebody did something that disrespectful to you?
Man, well, Ray, we will all be glued to our TVs during that game. Trust me, that's an intense rivalry. Also, Ray, thank you for listening, man. Appreciate the call.
All right, God bless you, buddy.
All right, you too. All right, personal. See, this we were just talking about this rivalry. It's
right.
Like,
it goes beyond, the play on the field.
Yeah, MSU and U of M. And when you talk about them, it's like,
bitter rivals.
Bitter. I can't wait for that game. All right. But Kickalicious, Kickalicious today. Kickalicious, I'm really excited to see how he performs. All right, let's move on. Exterior padding in football. We'll do this story, and we'll take another break. Exterior padding in football helmets. This is really cool, and I think you'll be seeing a lot of this in the future of football. When the University of South Carolina opens preseason football practice Friday night, the plan is to have the Gamecocks wear, quote, Guardian caps. That's what they're being called. Guardian caps. YouTube Guardian caps or Facebook them. Really cool stuff here. The padded shells. They're padded shells made of polyurethane fabric. They're designed to fit over helmets and reduce impacts to the head. Now, the Guardian caps have compartments padded with foam rubber that are arranged on the top of the helmets. One issue is whether soft shells might stick together or be more easily grabbed and cause neck injuries, possibly. But we'll see as testing goes on. Now, Lee Hansen, founder of the Guardian Cap, says his product reduces head impacts, quote, up to 33%. 33%, that's a lot. Now, they've done lab tips, and that's what the percentage they've come up with. Now, 35 states have schools and or leagues using at least 20 Guardian Caps during play. So, Riddle, the official helmet of the NFL and co-defendant in the concussion lawsuits, is introducing this season as a sensor system in the helmet that transmits when impacts exceed a player's history on hits. So, Reebok also has a new impact sensor that flashes when impacts exceed certain thresholds or past the limit of what they should. So, technology is definitely coming in here, and I really like, they seem like they won't bother you out there playing. They look kind of weird. You look kind of crazy wearing it. You look like you're from space or something, but it's pretty cool that, you know, things are being done to, you know, try to decrease concussions in football specifically.
Absolutely, because that is, like, you know, the big threat to the future of football, and they're going to take any precaution they can to kind of, you know, change the way the game is played. And if they can do it just in terms of the equipment, you know, changing the equipment instead of changing the rule book, right. I think that's going to go a long way. And, you know, you might look a little weird, but they've come a long way in helmet design over the last few years. In terms of just like the paint jobs, I'm sure, you know, for the first few years, they're going to look alien, like you said, but, you know, 5 years down the line, they're going to have, right. You know, Oregon's going to come out with some crazy, crazy helmets, and then people are going to think they're cool again.
Yeah, they're going to think they're cool. I definitely see that. And I'd rather look crazy and be safe.
Absolutely.
Than look fly. And what's rhyme with safe? I was going to come up with something pretty cool that rhyme with safe. Nothing rhymes with safe. All right.
I'm out of wordsmith.
I'm out of word. Yeah, me neither. All right. Let's hit the break. That was going to be really cool if I came up with something. All right. Well, let's hit the break. After we come back, we're going to wrap up our current sports section and also talk about Johnny Football. I'm going to pose an interesting question concerning Johnny Football. Again, we're taking your calls. Tweet me, Facebook me. We'll be right back. Current sports is coming right at you.
On the next Fresh Air, as Congress prepares for its August recess, we talk with Jonathan Weissman, who covers Congress for the New York Times.
We are really on pace to have one of the least productive, if not the least productive, Congresses in history.
Weissman will explain why and talk about the showdowns expected this fall. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Yeah, somewhere my grandma is listening and grooving right now to this music we have on today. Shout out to Aaron Young. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We're going to wrap up two stories for Current Sports and then pose a question about Johnny Football really quick. The Lansing Lugnuts. The Lugnuts won in late game fashion Monday, but yesterday they couldn't pull it off. It's really a bad season. The Lugnuts right now. I should say second half of the season. They're last in the Midwestern League right now. It's pretty bad. They played the South Bend Silverhawks yesterday at Cooley Law School Stadium. The Hawks won 4-0, powered by Brad Allen's 5 hits over the first 7 innings. So the Lansing Lugnuts are now 13-24 in the second part of the season and play today at, right now. They're playing right now. 12:30 was the first pitch. And then they travel to South Bend for 2 more games. Jesse, hang in there, brother. Hang in there, man. I know it can get tough. All right, youth baseball fight. This is a pretty funny story. Funny and sad.
Right.
At the same time.
Right.
Colorado couple has been cited for starting a brawl of roughly 20 people after a youth baseball game. Now, the game for 10-year-olds was a competitive playoff game, according to witnesses. However, it was after the game when James Dyer, who would later be cited with disorderly conduct, started yelling at the opposing coach, and the incident escalated after that. Now, Dyer began to walk away when the coach didn't respond. Now, that's where the cell phone video begins. The video ends with the person filming appears to be hit, and the phone drops to the ground. So somebody was filming this altercation between Dyer and the coach. Dyer didn't want to be filmed, I guess, and like, smacks the phone out. And anyway, police say that James Dyer's wife, was apparently upset that a parent was filming James. So this is actually his wife who did this.
Sounds like a great family.
Yeah, I know. They don't take no mess. Man.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Not at all.
Jamie then hit the woman filming. I tell you. Now, Jennifer Metzler, one of the adults there that night, says parents were rolling on the ground, and one man even got kicked in the groin. The boys on both teams, now this is really touches my heart, because the boys on both teams who are playing the game, the 10-year-olds, are all crying during this entire thing. They're crying. The boys are crying.
Gosh.
These 10-year-old boys crying at this scuffle. Now, James Dyer, he told the police that he approached the other coach in the first place because Dyer's son had been a third base runner during the game and had been clapping to distract the other team. Now, he says the opposing coach told Dyer's son to stop, so Dyer approached the coach after the game and said, "Hey, man, I don't like that, telling my son what to do." President of Greenlee Evans Youth League says the event was embarrassing for both the league and the city of Greenlee. As league officials investigate what happened, he says it's important they figure out how to prevent a similar incident in the future. Now, James Dyer didn't want to speak by phone to any news media. He admitted going up to the dugout after the game, but says he didn't start a fight. He says he and his wife were the ones attacked.
Of course.
Of course he would say
that,
right?
That is literally a South Park episode.
That is.
I mean, that is. That is a ridiculous story.
Crazy,
talk
right?
about setting an example for your kids.
Yeah, I tell you, it's when, you know, and that goes back to my whole spiel about just taking the game too serious. This is a 10-year-old.
A competitive playoff game for 10-year-olds.
For 10-year-olds. That's, I mean, come on, man. Just chill. Take a chill pill. Just go with the flow. Watch your son. Be happy he's out there playing. Disturbing story. All right, so before we leave, we got about 9 minutes left. I would just think about this whole Johnny football situation. Me and Matt are just going to talk about, the whole offseason problems about him going to the frat party, the most recent, you know, incident with him going to the frat party of his rival team, and, you know, the tweet and the whole not waking up in time for the Manning camp and getting kicked out of the camp. It really begs to pose the question whether or not in the future, if there is a freshman phenom that, you know, somehow emerges in the future of college football, you know, who knows when that'll be the next time this happens. That's what made Johnny Football's story so special. But whether or not the NCAA will ever award another freshman winner of the Heisman, looking at all of the offseason problems that Johnny Manziel has had or it keeps on having constantly. So what do you think about that? Do you think that the NCAA should and will possibly award another freshman winner of the Heisman Trophy?
Right. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on the year. If there is a freshman who is, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else, maybe. But this could probably make them a little more reticent to do that because it really has been a PR disaster. I mean, he went from folk hero to, you know, villain of college football over a summer. You know, he didn't even see the field, and he's, you know, the perception of Johnny Manziel is totally different than it was 3 months ago.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, the last guy who was really young who made a good run and barely lost the Heisman was Larry Fitzgerald in 2003. Now, do you think that Larry Fitzgerald, had he won the Heisman, would have done anything like this? I don't know. But at the same time, it's a different time. I mean, that was 10 years ago. You know, the most popular cell phones were those Nokia bricks. You know, there not a lot of camera phones.
Not
there.
A lot of camera
not
phones.
A lot of,
you can't tweet. Can't
exactly.
Facebook on that thing.
There's just so many avenues for people to get in trouble. And when you're a freshman in college, mm-hmm. chances are good you're going to do that. And when it's magnified to the degree that Johnny Manziel is, you know, it's not surprising that he's gotten into a few scuffles this offseason. But at the same time, if there's an elite player who is clear, you know, far and away the best player in college football, I think they'll still do it. But
I think so.
They might, you know, take a beat and really think about it because, yeah, it's been bad news for Johnny Football and Texas A&M in general.
Right. Very true. I think, you know, one thing you got to look at is you know, if, you know, we don't know if there ever will be another freshman winner, but if there is, it all depends on, I really look at what they do on the field. I mean, Johnny Manziel was spectacular last season. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I thought he deserved it.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable. And, you know, if it happens again where there is another freshman phenom that comes out of nowhere and is just head above heels, more talented than the rest of the candidates, then I think deservingly so, they need to get the Heisman. But at the same time, when people look at the Heisman, they look at character being another big thing. Now, granted, when Johnny did win the award, no one knew that, you know, I guess he would get into this stint that he did on the, you know, with all the offseason problems that he's had. I mean, general perception that this is a great kid, you know, he's got his hand on right, he never does anything wrong, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all this other crap comes out where it's like, whoa.
Right.
Maybe we should have rethought this. And that's what's coming out now. But at the same time, again, because there are a lot of individuals that are out there and who will look at this story. And, you know, I was discussing this with my a friend of mine, you know, back in Detroit. That's why I wanted to bring this discussion. We were talking about this yesterday. And he's a guy who didn't go to college. He knows nothing about the college atmosphere,
right,
the temptation that's there, you know, just because college, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, me and you went to college. We went to MSU.
Right.
Let's be honest. It's a fun time.
For sure.
Parties are happening all the time. There's a lot of temptation out there. It's a lot of trouble to get into.
Absolutely.
And football players, you know, they kind of get, and it goes back to the Cole Carlos Hyde thing, too, because you're in the spotlight, especially as a football player, as a top prospect. I mean, you're the Heisman Trophy winner. For goodness sake, cameras are always on you. People are always looking at you. And you being a young kid, especially for him, he's a freshman, he doesn't really know how to deal with all this.
Right.
And he's been quoted as saying, I want to have fun. You know, he wants to still go out there and have fun. And he's not going to, you know, just because he's a Heisman Trophy winner, he's not going to go out there and kind of just be cautious with everything that he does. But you would think after the first incident with the Twitter and now with the whole Manning camp.
Right.
You think he would be like, all right, well, let me just chillax for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between going out and having fun and going out and being stupid.
Right. And you that's know, what this is. I give him a pass for the first two.
But you know, on earth would you go to your biggest rival campus and go to a frat party there and expect to be, you know, welcomed with open arms? Like, absolutely.
Exactly.
In a football crazy state like Texas, where, you know, football is like
runs the world.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, it is the end all be all. Why on earth would you think that was a good idea? You know, and to the point of, you know, will they award another freshman with the Heisman? You know, we have such a small sample size. Obviously, it's just him as, you know, freshmen who have won. You know, maybe it's just Johnny Manziel. You know, maybe lumping all freshmen into that, you know, immature category is unfair.
It's unfair.
Because maybe it's just him. Maybe he's just kind of dumb. Like that.
Right.
Just making
it's
mistakes
stupidity.
That are
just follow what it is.
Inexplicable.
Stupidity.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You go to the Peyton Manning passing camp and, you know, you're out partying. Like,
and don't wake up. I mean, that's just stupidity, like you said. And you think after the first two incidents, you would learn this lesson, but, you know.
Right, like maybe I should lay low.
Right.
For the rest of the summer.
Exactly.
You know, just
get your game right, man. Go throw some football.
Catch up on Game of Thrones, Johnny.
Right. There you go. Exactly.
Watch some TV.
Watch some TV, man. Chill out for a minute.
Gosh.
But I do, when you look at it, though, I really think that, you know, now that this has happened, it's going to be it makes it that more difficult for another freshman to come in and try to compete to win the Heisman Trophy again.
Right.
And, because they're going to be thinking about that. Because, like I said, when you think about the Heisman, it's such a prestigious award. You think about character. You think about what you do on the off season. And I'm sure there are a lot of Heisman Trophy winners out there who are looking at Johnny like, what are you doing? You
right.
know what I mean? You're kind of tainting this award right now. You
yeah.
need to just
hurting the
out.
Brand.
Hurting the brand. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's definitely rolling through their head. All right. Wow. Has time flown on this show. I would love to thank all of you out there who weighed in and let your voice be heard about the whole Tigers and Pistons trade, Travis Casey and Spencer Ray, Antoine Hollis, David Zuckerman, and Ray. Thanks for the call. You're a dedicated listener, brother. Thanks for calling in. And thank you for all of those who just sat back and relaxed and enjoyed the show. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Of course, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, our production assistant's intern, Mike Corey. Engineer Aaron Young, Peter Warp, station manager here at WKAR. Thanks for all of you who weighed in. Of course, same time, same place tomorrow. And tomorrow, I'm going to put my streak on the line, man. My one game streak on the line. My one win streak on the line. Tomorrow's trivia day. You don't want to miss it. I go head to head with Alex, trying to make this baby 2-0. We'll see. Tune in. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing, on WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people.